إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أيها الأحباب في الله، أيها الإخوة والأخوات، أيها المسلمون، هل تفكرتم في سبب انتصار المسلمين الأوائل بالرغم من قلة عددهم وعددهم على مملكتين عظيمتين كانتا أعظم ممالك الدنيا في ذلك العهد بفترة قصيرة وجيزة يسيرة؟ أيها الإخوة الأحباب، هل تأملتم وتفكرتم كيف تمكنت أمة ناشئة على كسر شوكة دولتين عظيمتين هما دولة الروم ودولة الفرس؟ ما هو سر عظمة هذه الأمة؟ الجواب أيها الإخوة والأخوات بسيط ويسير، وينبغي أن يكون واضحا في أذهان الجميع. الجواب هو في كلمة واحدة: المدد الرباني. المدد الرباني هو سر عظمة هذه الأمة. المدد بجانبيه: الجانب الأول المدد الرباني في التأييد بالنصر من عند الله عز وجل، وما النصر إلا من عند الله، إن ينصركم الله فلا غالب لكم، بجنود من عنده سبحانه وتعالى: وما يعلم جنود ربك إلا هو، إذ يوحي ربك إلى الملائكة أني معكم فثبتوا الذين آمنوا، سنلقي في قلوب الذين كفروا الرعب فاضربوا فوق الأعناق واضربوا منهم كل بنان. والجانب الثاني من هذا المدد الرباني هو في الشريعة السمحاء، الشريعة الربانية التي تتضمن العقائد الصحيحة والتصورات الصحيحة والقيم العالية الراقية التي هي من عند الله سبحانه وتعالى، وتتضمن المقومات التي أهلت تلك الأمة، أمة المسلمين الأوائل، أن يتولوا قيادة البشرية. الجواب باختصار، ولله العزة ولرسوله وللمؤمنين، الجواب باختصار أيها الإخوة والأخوات هو في قول عمر رضي الله عنه: نحن قوم أعزنا الله بالإسلام، فمهما ابتغينا العزة لغيره أذلنا الله. Beloved Muslims, dear brothers and sisters, have you ever wondered about the reason of the success of the first generation of Muslims? How were they able to become victorious? How they were able to expand their power to the east and the west in a fairly very short span of time? What is the secret behind the success of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during its early time? It is extremely important for us to understand the reason for this. It's important for us to understand the causes for the rise and fall of nations, if we are desirous of bringing back the honor and the dignity of this ummah. Dear brothers and sisters, the answer is very simple and should be clear in every mind of us, in every mind of a Muslim. The answer is, the secret lies in the divine support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this ummah. This divine support came to this ummah through two forms. The first form is the physical, the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His victory and through His soldiers that are only known to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when the Muslims used to fight in their battle against the pagans during the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the angels used to fight side by side with them. And the other form of this divine support is in the Sharia, that includes the correct set of beliefs, the noble ideas and values, the all that is needed for this ummah to be qualified to lead humanity. It is in there, in Shari'atullah Azza wa Jal. Dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is again the answer in short, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Honor and dignity belong to Allah, His Messenger and the believers. If we are to seek honor, this is the only way. And Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu said that we are people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored by the virtue of this deen. If we are to seek honor from any other source, Allah will degrade us, Allah will disgrace us. Beloved Muslims and dear brothers and sisters, it's very wrong for us to believe that the success of the first generation of Muslims was random. Rather, the first generation of Muslims possessed the qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, the qualities that enable them to become a victorious nation. And ever since the start of this mission of Islam, a conflict was created, and that is a conflict between two systems, Shari'atul Rahman and Shari'atul Insan, the laws of Allah and the man-made laws. And it is part of our belief, it is part of a belief to believe that there is no room to compare even the laws of Allah with the man-made laws. Because we believe that لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Allah, there is none who is like to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, unnecessarily, nothing can be like that which comes to Allah, to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can witness every day the outcome of the man-made laws, in a form of the breakup of families, the widespread of indecencies, the cut-off of social and blood relationship, in a form of oppression and transgression that take place, because this is the natural outcome of the man-made laws. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described man as إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Indeed, he is a zalum, a most wicked, most oppressive, jahul, most ignorant, most foolish. And the only way for man to be reformed is by the Sharia. The Sharia is the only way that can refine and purifies and cleanses the character of the human, all human beings. Dear brothers and sisters, there is, number one, there is no room for comparison between man-made laws and Allah's laws subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can witness the outcome of reapplication and implementation of man-made laws. You know, all the evil that you see on the earth now, Muslims are not responsible for it. Because in today's world, the Muslims are not the ones who have the upper hand. And therefore, we are not responsible about the outcome of what is happening in the world today. But this does not mean that we are not responsible when it comes to our obligation to change the condition of the Ummah nowadays. So we are responsible in a sense, and we are not responsible in a sense. We are going to be questioned about what did we do in order to change the current condition of the Muslims of today. But the evils that take place nowadays on earth, the people who are responsible are the people who are in the position of power. We can also, dear brothers and sisters, witness the beauty of Islam and the validity of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we witness the outcome of the abandonment of Muslims to Islam. You know, the condition of meekness and division in which we live nowadays is a living proof for the validity of Islam and the truthfulness of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we did not reach to this level but after we abandoned the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We go back to the point, dear brothers and sisters, the starting point in revival, the starting point in restoring our honor and dignity should be exactly like that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not send the Muslims to the east and the west to learn from their educational system to be doctors, engineers and scientists and then come back in order to strengthen the Muslim Ummah. This is not to belittle seeking to being engineers, doctors and scientists. No, it is rather to emphasize on a very important point that all sciences, if they are not governed by the divine guidance, they lead to destruction, they lead to evil and corruption on earth, they lead to mischief on earth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strengthened the believers, the followers, the companions. They strengthen them by Iman, by the Quran, by the beautiful manners of Islam, by the noble values and ideas of the Quran. This is how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam strengthened the believers, and this is how they became victorious. They did not go to the east and west, learn from them. But in the end, the east and west, as a result of the education and the training of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came to them to learn sciences, medicine and other branches of knowledge. So they knew that the starting point is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Tawheedullah azza wa jal, and filling this heart with Iman, with belief, and correcting our concepts and correcting our beliefs. And this is very extremely important. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started by setting the people free from the enslavement of anything but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He set them free from all fears. He set them free by the correct creed and by refusal to attribute to anything or anyone the power to benefit or to harm, to anything or to anyone the power of shaping their own destiny. He started by implanting in their heart the belief that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone who possesses the power to benefit and to harm, and that you should rely on Allah alone, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is the one who has the complete and full control of every aspect of this life, that It upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone we depend in every second of our life, in every aspect on our life. And this is why we survive. So it is connection of the hearts of the companions with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah alone. Take this example that may illustrate for you the difference. We said the two different systems. Two systems that are completely different from one another. And if they meet, they meet in certain details and branches that really do not matter. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, the one who conquered Egypt, he sent 10 people. Among them is Ubad ibn al-Samit radiallahu anhu, to the head of the Egypt then, Al-Muqawqas. And among the delegate and the spokesman of the delegate was Ubad ibn al-Samit radiallahu anhu. Ubad ibn al-Samit radiallahu anhu was a tall, strong, muscular, black man. And he was the spokesman. And when they entered to Al-Muqawqas and met with him, he said, نحو عني ذلك الأسود ليتقدم غيره حتى يخاطبني. This is what he said. He said that just turn this black person away from me, let somebody else address me. And again here, at this moment, it appears to you the major difference and how Islam teaches us to judge people by the contents of their character, not by the color of their skin or their ethnicity or the way they are dressed or shapes. And they told him that this black man that you are talking about is the best amongst us and the more knowledgeable and most virtuous, and he is the appointed spokesman of the group. So either you accept or leave. So they forced him to talk to them. Their consensus and their solidarity to support their spokesman forced him to deal with him. And you know now, alhamdulillah, today Egypt is one of the Muslim countries. And Egypt now, an Egyptian, they take pride by Amr ibn al-As and Ubad ibn al-Samit. And they praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having them. And they look up to them as saviors, people who came to liberate people in the real sense of the word. Even though the power of the Muslim vanished, but the deen of Islam remained living in the hearts of Egyptian and all Muslims around the world. This is an answer for those people who say that Islam was spread by power. But it did not. It still exists. Even though sometimes you get in trouble for being committed to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear brothers, this is one example that shows the differences between these two systems and the fact that we have to always tailor our life in order to fit Shariatullah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows more concerning what serves the greater interest of ours than ourselves. And He is more merciful towards us than ourselves towards ourselves. And He is the all-wise, whose wisdom is unbounded and infinite. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Beloved Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said and promised, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never ever fails to fulfill His promise. Allah said in the Quran, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. This is a divine promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات, who believe and work righteous deeds. This is a promise of three components. لا يستخلفنهم كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم, that he will surely grant them succession to power on earth as he did concerning those people who were before them, as he granted it for those who were before them. ولا يمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم, and he will surely establish for them the deen which he has chosen for them securely and firmly. And the third component is وَلِيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا, and he will surely substitute their status of fear by security. And this security is not limited to the outward security, rather it includes the inner security of the heart. Dear brothers and sisters, in this ayah there is a promise for the believers that they will be granted security and power by means of which they will be capable of satisfying their worldly needs by means of which they can satisfy their worldly needs, and all that they need to do is to possess certain qualities. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, by possessing some moral qualities, people can gain power and security on earth in order to satisfy their worldly needs. So it is a gift from Allah and promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we have to know how to start. And what is the starting point? If we start seeking power, we'll never get power. If we start seeking power, we'll never get power. If we start seeking anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure, we'll never succeed. And therefore, this promise is exclusive for الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And this is very important. You brothers and sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his da'wah started by him alone. And few people who were oppressed and persecuted, and people that the tribes of Arabia, they stood united against them and fought them by every means they have, using their utmost efforts. Yet in the midst of this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told one of his companions radiyallahu anhum, atadri mal Hira? Do you know where Hira is? Hira is a city in the middle south of Iraq. It is there is a distance of hundreds of miles between Al-Madinah and that city. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish this religion until a lady will travel from that city on a camel without the need of the protection of anyone to perform the Hajj in Mecca. This is not conceivable at that time. What the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam promised that companion, and he told him, وَلَتَفْتَحُنَّ كُنُوزَ كِسْرَ بْنُ هُرْمُزَ, you are surely going to open the treasures of Kisra ibn Hurmuz, the head of the Persian Empire. And it's ironic because when the Muslims went to Kisra ibn Hurmuz in order to invite him to Islam, he made fun, and again remember the story of Al-Muqawqas. Him and his elite, they made fun of the way that the Muslims are dressed. They made fun of the weapons of the Muslims because they were not really all made in somewhere. They were just, it was not uniform. Nothing was uniform. Their bows were funny. They used to say, tell them that this is like dog, this is a Persian word. which means that the tool that used for ghazl. Okay, so they made fun of them, but still that companion, he said, by Allah, I lived long enough to see what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has foretold. I lived enough to see a woman traveling from Al-Hira and performing Hajj without a need of protection of anyone. And I was among the people who opened the treasures of Kisra ibn Hormuz. Again, what was the starting point of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It was Iman and Amal Salih. There is no shortcut. There is no other way, dear brothers and sisters. Don't try to find any other way. And the question that comes after is, where are we going to start? And the answer comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not change the condition of a people until they change that which is within themselves. And you start second with your families. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Ask yourself, did you pass on to your children the deen of Allah? Did you pass on to them the iman that Rasulullah taught to his companion? Did you pass on to them the basics of their deen? Did you teach them how to please Allah, how to pray, how to fast? Did you teach them the qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves? The honesty, trustworthiness, and all these beautiful qualities that are specified in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dear brothers and sisters, the load is heavy. But the good news is, Allah will not question us for anything that is beyond our ability. Allah said, وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. And He did not say, وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مِثْلَ مَا عِنْدَهُمْ مِنَ الْقُوَّةِ. Allah said, prepare for them whatever you can of power. And He did not require us to have equal level of power. Because on our side is Allah. And when we lose sight of Allah, nothing benefits us. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك، ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. اللهم متعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقوتنا ما أحييتنا، واجعله الوارث منا، واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من عادانا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا، ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.